head on the Royal Navy submarine HMS Vigil.
From the makers of Line of Duty.
We're to send the detective out to look into it.
How are you with confined spaces?
Starring Saran Jones.
I think this was a murder.
The deeper you go.
You're going to let them die?
The darker it gets.
It's a staggering act of hostility.
Vigil.
We're not at war.
We have always been at war.
Starts on Sunday night at 9 on BBC One and iPlayer.
Here on Radio 4 tonight, it's time for my teenage diary. This week, Rufus is joined by the comedian Ken Cheng.
My name's Rufus Hound and welcome to My Teenage Diary, the show where I invite brave adults to look back at their teenage past by reopening their diaries and reading them out in public for the very first time. Can they recognise themselves when they look back? Have they remained true to their youthful ideals? Were they the kind of person they would now avoid at a school reunion? My guest tonight is a stand-up comedian who dropped out of Cambridge to become a professional poker player. That's what he's like now. But we're about to find out what he was like way back then. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ken Cheng! So hello, Ken.
Hi.
Which diaries will you be reading from today?
Well, actually, the diary I'll be reading from is a live journal that I kept during my GCSEs in 2004-2005.
So, just swiftly, for everyone in the room that isn't you, what's a live journal?
A live journal was a website, livejournal.com, I think it was, that was kind of one of the early blogging sites.
So it was sort of like an online diary where you both expressed your thoughts publicly, but without really expecting anybody would ever see it.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was before Facebook, before any social media, so you wouldn't actually advertise it, really. You just had it up there, and it was impossible to find if you didn't know what you're looking for.
So this is a quite a big moment for My Teenage Diary because we're now talking to guests who were teenagers in 2004. Yeah, we're acknowledging the existence of the 21st century, but don't worry, Radio 4 will be providing a helpline number at the end of the show for any listeners affected by this troubling turn of events. So you're 15 and at school just outside of Cambridge. Is there anything else we should know about your life in 2004?
I was very different to how I am now. I hadn't even thought about doing comedy at that stage. I was very shy and quite nervous. I wasn't the kind of person who would do this kind of thing at all.
Right.
And yeah, still figuring out a lot about the world.
So, it's 2004. Mark Zuckerberg launches Facebook from his college dorm. Janet Jackson's Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction gives the world a glimpse of her right bosom. And Piers Morgan is sacked by the Daily Mirror for printing fake photos of Iraqi prisoner abuse. Yes, it was a year when Super Bowl viewers said hello to a right bosom, while Mirror readers said goodbye to a right tit. But what is the 15-year-old Ken Cheng doing?
I feel bad. Wednesday, May 19th, 2004, 10:40 p.m. Today was a shite day. Yet I'm not capable of pinpointing what was so bad about it. Maybe it's something to do with astrology. Although Capricorns don't believe in astrology, my subconscious reaction to the weather or some kind of repressed, furious anger residing up in my soul. The most likely is that it's the small annoyances that are put aside, but slowly building up into something that could end in a full-on atomic explosion. So I sit here doing German coursework, a language which I am utterly terrible at, pondering the meanings of my life. That is all.
This is sensational stuff on My Teenage Diary. We're used to people building up to existential crises, but not you. Bang, day one, straight in.
Yeah, it does reek of existential crisis, but about nothing. I think I desperately wanted to have an existential crisis, but there was nothing interesting about my life.
Is this the reason that you start to keep this diary, to chronicle how terrible you feel?
No, I think I just end up being quite... I mean, I was a teenager. You just end up defaulting to being quite emo, especially in that emo phase of the noughties where you just said you were feeling bad for no reason. All the time.
Well, let's join you again 2 days later and see if you're still in a cheery mood.
This one's called I feel old. Friday, 21st of May, 6:08 p.m. It has come to my attention that in 1 year, I will be doing my GCSEs and leaving school. I feel old. Work experience soon. Last night I had an anxiety dream where I had to go to work experience the next day, but all the forms hadn't been filled out yet and I hadn't finished the letter of application. Spooky! Thursday, 27th of May, 10:32 a.m. Soon I will have glasses and look twice as smart and geeky. Mwahahahahaha.
You described yourself as smart and geeky. Were you quite proud of this? Was there a, like an underdog cool that you thought you were maybe fostering? Because we were 2004, this is the rise of the nerd, isn't it? We're beginning to see now that the movers and the shakers are people not entirely unlike yourself.
Yeah, no, I think the rise hadn't started yet. I was definitely before the rise. I was pretty cool nerd. I don't know if I was proud of it, but I definitely, it did define me as a teenager. I think one of my main traits was that I was very good at school. And good at maths specifically.
Yeah.
And also there's a big stereotype around like Chinese people being good at maths in school. And I think I kind of just internalized that stereotype and just became that. I don't think I was particularly proud of it. I'm probably more proud of it now, being a complete nerd. But then again, the nerds have risen, so it's a good time to be a nerd. I'm accepting that now.
There may be one or two more details in the diary, Ken Cheng.
Monday, June 21st. Well, it was my first day at work. Was pretty boring, but okay. I carried out tedious tasks such as opening letters and printing out parking permit notices. Fun. Wednesday, June 23rd. Today, I was given the task to assemble 400, brackets, literally 400 letters. That means 200 uses of guillotine, 400 foldings, putting on 400 stickers, and then sealing 400 envelopes. I seem to get given the jobs that nobody wants but have to be done, and I don't even get paid for it.
You seem genuinely disappointed that your school work experience placement is unpaid and involves doing menial tasks. I hate to break it to you, but that
workers
is literally
rights.
The definition of work experience.
I was very pro workers' rights already back then.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. I mean, it's for this reason that I personally think work experience is a terrible idea. Kids literally get a week at the end of which they think, having experienced the world of work, I wish to play no further part. Is this the moment that you realised you were unsuited to conventional working life?
Yeah, this is the last time I did a 9-to-5 job. The only time in my life I did woke up at 9 p.m. for even longer than a week. A 9 a.m. rather. 9 a.m. So I don't even know which time people wake up for.
We join you next in August, Ken Cheng, and you're still thinking about careers.
Sunday, 22nd August, 3:18 p.m. My new job. I've always had one special skill, playing Bejeweled. My total score is 165,000 on MSN Bejeweled. I always thought this skill would never come in handy. It turns out I was wrong. I discovered a game site which has a game just like Bejeweled called Midas Miner. I played it as a practice player for a while and found out it was easy to kill the asses of the random losers on the site. So I signed up yesterday, paid £10. Now I'm playing it lots. It turns out you can win £50 from one game if you're really that good. Unfortunately, I'm not that good and I only won £6.50 from the big tournaments. But I win the small tournaments every time. I've got £28 in my balance with lots of money tied up in incomplete tournaments. I should have £50 if I win them all, which is really easy to do. What a great job.
So this is a big moment, right? The beginning of your professional gaming career.
It is. It's a massive moment. Yeah, I think this was very much the precursor to what I did after I left uni, which was play poker.
But also, we noticed at this point, in 2004, MSN wouldn't have been a thing previously, and Midas Miner and being able to like play games money wouldn't have been a thing. You are absolutely right front and centre of a change in time.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I guess I also got on it quite early because my dad was very much into computers. So I had the internet probably, I think I first went on it when I was about 7 years old.
Have you always been ahead from a technological point of view? Is this where we find out you're a Bitcoin billionaire?
Oh, I wish. No, I'm so annoyed about Bitcoin because I found out about it when it was £8 per Bitcoin. And I thought, nah. And then I saw it again when it was £26 per Bitcoin. I was like, nah. And then I saw it again, and then I saw it again. And now it's like, what, £25,000? So I could have been, but I just said no every time. And I regret that every day.
Yeah. You work out pretty quickly that the other people on the site aren't good enough to beat you. Is this a sort of a trait you're used to actually being slightly smarter than the people around you?
I think so. I was always the smartest kid.
I mean, it's tricky, right? Because ultimately, the thing with you, Ken, is you are provably incredibly smart. So I can ask you that question where you don't have to do the British, like, me, clever? No.
It was mainly the maths that I picked up so early. I think at age of four, I was already doing like long multiplication and stuff like that because my dad taught me it. So I very much had that as probably my main personality trait, like the first 21 years of my life.
Yeah, right. But there is a certain superiority there. And I wondered, is that a trait shared possibly by great poker players too?
Yeah, poker players have insane egos. Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of poker is you sit down at a table and you say, I'm smarter than everyone at this table. And that then extends the whole world, really, which I think I've stopped playing poker as much as I used to. I'm mostly focused on comedy now, so I've very much lost that. But I definitely was in a period where I definitely had this insane ego. You kind of have to lose it when you do comedy because it's not a competition in comedy. Yeah. Imagine if I went into every gig thinking, I'm funnier than everyone here. I don't think that is...
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think I'm smarter than them, though, still, so...
But,
so,
but you do... I have a theory about comedy, which is it all does come down to confidence.
That is quite interesting, because I think what I had as a teenager, I didn't have confidence. I was actually very insecure about my intelligence, but I had an ego. And that's interesting, that confidence and ego actually are sort of opposites. You can have a huge ego and have no actual internal confidence, and you can have loads of confidence but have no ego. And I think I've definitely moved towards having a lot of confidence when I go on stage, but also not having carrying around this ego that like dominates everything. And that actually comes from a place of insecurity, I think.
Your parents don't get a mention in the diary so far. How involved are they in your life?
Well, my dad moved to China when I was 10. So, and my parents like stayed together. It's quite common, I think, for Chinese parents to just live in different continents, but they don't have divorce. They didn't have it in their generation anyway. And so they just were together, but not living in the same house or the same country. And he was always quite distant anyway. I don't think he ever really wanted kids. So I guess my mum and I were close, but we're very different people, so we didn't really share the same interests or views on the world, and I think I became quite self-sufficient because of that.
They were first-generation immigrants?
Yeah, they came over... They were both in their early 20s, and they did degrees here.
So that's a pretty classic story, isn't it? That you're growing up in one culture, they're from another culture, and where that clashes, and you're trying to assert yourself in your own way.
Yeah, totally. I think you're very much stuck between two cultures because everyone at my school was just English. So I very much kind of left Chinese culture behind. I didn't learn the language, which I regret now because I think it'll be quite cool to know Mandarin.
And so what did your dad do?
I think he did computer science as a PhD.
And your mum?
My mum is an interpreter, Mandarin interpreter, so it's even worse that I don't know the language. That's a job. And she kept trying to get me to learn. I was like, nah, that will never be useful. Mandarin? What, China? They're never going to be... Even, like, as an eight-year-old, I thought I knew so much about geopolitics. I was like, China's just a backwards country. They'll never become powerful or important.
All right, well, look, it's September 2004, and now you're back at school. It's year 11, GCSE year, fifth form in old money. And we join you on September the 6th.
Yeah, Monday 6th of September, 6:46 p.m. 3 days into hell. 3 whole days have passed since the return to the lovely grounds of Impington Village College, which is infested by lovely, magical, special people who aren't 80% twats at all. This year seems almost exactly the same to last year with minor details. There's also that stupid rule that no one can eat on the field. Might as well be called Fascist Village College. In all caps. Their plan is to starve us and dehydrate us so we fail. Oh well, we can always burn something down and fight the system. I guess this year should be somewhat exciting, with the pressure of exams and all, and those lovely yearbooks at the end, and a prom, and harder work and coursework every month or so.
You're still a bit angry in this entry. Did you really think 80% of all the other students were twats?
I think I did, yeah. I mean, they were. Let's be honest, 15-year-olds. 80% is probably low.
Conservative estimate.
Yeah, I guess I probably did feel like an outsider. I think that's probably the general place of my angst and anger. I think, and I was probably very lonely as well. There weren't that many people who had my background, especially being a racial minority, but also being a bit weird, growing up on the internet. It just the whole fact of stuff meant most people probably didn't really understand me. But I think I did meet some like-minded people through MSN, and that's where probably my closest friends came from.
Yeah. It is interesting because obviously, we've recently experienced a year of lockdown. I have a son who is 13 and a half years old. Mm. And he has spent almost all of his time sat in front of his PC on Discord playing Minecraft and absolutely said to me that without that online world, he would have found the last year absolutely unbearable, intolerable, saddening, the works. And you were at the forefront of that.
Yeah, I basically would have thrived in 2021.
Right.
I would have just had a great time. I was born 15 years too early, I think.
I just imagine you walking up to a group of like 14-year-olds now going, "You have no idea, man, you weren't there, man." Yeah. I had a 56K modem.
I did.
Well, let's continue with your 2004 diary, Ken Cheng.
Thursday, 23rd of September, 8:29 p.m. Achievement evening soon. I'm getting another maths award. But decided not to go, because all you do is sit there for hours until it's your turn to go up and shake people's hands, and then sit down again and sit there for even longer. They give you a crappy book voucher, which I usually give off as a birthday present. I really wanted to get something other than maths this year, like English. I tried hard in English, but John got it. He probably deserved it more, I guess, as long as Ollie didn't get it, because he's not that great, but our teacher is in love with him, so he gets lots of good stuff. Also, I would have liked to get business studies, but doesn't really matter. Awards don't really mean much in the long run, yeah? Then again, neither do GCSEs and A stars. Sure, you get into a good sixth form, then what? A good uni, then what? Just another menial job for the rest of your life. Then you get old, retire. That's practically the end.
And this is why we should ban work experience. It's as if you're trying to talk yourself out of a successful path that had been laid out in front of you. I mean, there aren't many people who would have a kind of genius level at a subject and then spend all of their time thinking, oh, God, that's the last thing I want to do. But that sort of seems to be where you're at this point in your life. Like, that menial job, if you're that level in maths, you go into, like, investment banking or whatever, there's, like, you're on 250 grand a year within a few years.
Yeah, maybe I should have taken that route. You saying that number, though. Is it? Oh,
had
no.
Nobody ever pointed that out to you before, and this is this is why you've ended up playing poker.
I think I remember taking careers tests as a 15-year-old, and they always came up with two things, pension manager and actuary. And I had no idea what those two things were or why they should. I mean, I knew they were paid well, but I don't think that ever motivated me enough. I think what is going on is I was always missing something in my life, and I think that was to be creative, and I didn't realize it then that would be comedy, but I think I always wanted to be creative in some way.
Now, it's interesting, in that last entry you talk about wishing you could win the English award, because in your spare time you were actually an aspiring novelist. You were writing an elaborate science fiction epic called Lambs and Teddies. Would you tell us about that?
Oh yes, can't wait. I had a lot of toy lambs as a kid. From the age of like 3 to 11, I just started amassing these toy lambs, and I would play with them like as a kid. I would pretend they were like in space on spaceships fighting space battles and stuff.
So these lambs are a pretty big deal in your life.
They were, yeah, they were totally a massive deal, yeah.
And a huge inspiration, as we will now hear, from a young Ken Cheng's literary offerings.
Lambs and Teddies by Kenneth Cheng. Prologue. Lieutenant Commander Daddy Whammy III was first officer aboard the Armageddon under the command of Captain I Dunno. They had just been at Lambs on Prime, the homeworld of the lambs, celebrating the new lamb year, 2998. The Armageddon was 8 decks, a quite heavily armed ship for its size, and had the most advanced technology in all of the United Planetary Federation. The Armageddon-class destroyer was designed in 2993, the prototype was built in 2995, and it became a confirmed UPF ship in late 2996. Daddy was a whammy. Whammies were the family who led the Stellar Corps with optimum efficiency. They even had a seat on the governing council and were each given a 10% off card in most shops. All over the UPF.
Why were you writing it?
I don't know. I think I had a very active imagination. As I was saying, I really wanted to be creative in some way, but not like for anyone. I just wanted to write these, and these were written like, I think this must have been written when I was like 9 years old.
Right. Oh, okay. Because this lamb collection was vast, right?
Yes, massive.
And I think you've said previously that up until you were 12, you kind of viewed them as being your only friends.
Yeah, I think I didn't really have that many friends in primary school.
Right.
And I just liked playing with my lambs a lot of the time.
Yeah. Well, school's about to end, and so is your live journal, Ken Cheng.
Sunday, 22nd of May, 7:09 p.m. Finale. So comes an end to our 5-year-long TV series of school. And like all good things, the end is depressing, but also anticlimactic. It finally comes to a point where you have to pack up all your things and stick them in a photo album, because that's what things have become, memories. As momentous as the last day was, it just didn't really seem much like a big finale. It didn't feel like the last day of school. There was a lot of sitting around watching people perform and not enough seeing the people we cherish, talking to them for one last time. I had a lot of loose ends that I wanted to tie up, certain plans which were never fulfilled. It could have been a chance to make my farewells and make peace with the idea of losing people. But that window was too short, and I didn't really get that chance that day. That's what's truly depressing about it all. Sunday, 10th of July. Well, I guess that's it, except for the results day, but that will be brief. Otherwise, it's the last time I'll see a lot of people properly. The ball was a fun event, except for all the manky food. It was fun nonetheless, with lots of sweatiness in a big room dancing with lots of other sweaty people. And some amusing things like the gladiators thing and the surfboard and the slide. It was a good chance for people to go over the top and it wouldn't matter. It was also a good chance for the girls to bear the pain of uncomfortable shoes for some reason. Crazy people. Sunday, 24th of July. I find the hardest challenges I've faced are meeting new friends and keeping old ones, and I now feel both are being put to the test. I see people drifting slowly away from me, and I don't know why. Maybe it's a lack of school, because that really held most people together. Next year, with people going to different schools, each of which are large and reduce the chance of seeing people you know, I'm worried I'll lose those I consider close. Signing out.
You've spent quite a lot of time saying, you know, school's rubbish, the rules are pointless, all they want to do is, you know, factoryise you and get you through the system. And here you are on the last day saying, but I'd never got the chance to make my farewells and there are all these loose ends I wish to tie up. Is it fair to say these glasses of yours were slightly rose-tinted by this point?
Yeah, I think what's happened is I actually started finding what I enjoyed about life, which is actually meeting new people and getting closer to them. Especially in year 11, I was getting more socially confident, and that was kind of being kind of stopped at the point where I probably felt quite like the most confident I had felt in my secondary school time.
Do you think the people that you knew around this time that would be surprised to know that you then went on to become a stand-up comedian?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think people would have been quite shocked.
Nobody was thinking, that guy is going to be the comedian.
No, I can't wait for the reunion. See what...
So in the end, 2004 turned out slightly better than you were expecting. You got some new glasses, passed your GCSEs, made some mates. We're about to embark on the next chapter of your life, but I would imagine you still had one lingering regret, that you never turned up to collect your maths award. Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to award the 2004 Impington Village College Maths Prize, after a 17-year wait, to the winner. Yes, it's Ken Chen! Now, Ken, I have taken the liberty of writing you an acceptance speech, so...
I'd love to read it.
Please do.
It's utterly underwhelming to accept this maths award after 17 years. I mean, I already knew I'd won it. I always win the maths prize because I'm twice as smart and geeky as you. If you don't believe me, just look at these glasses. I should have won the business studies prize for making a ton of cash playing Midas Minor. And the English one too. I mean, have you read sci-fi masterpiece Lambs and Teddies? Coming to Amazon Prime next year.
What?
Have I told you that life is essentially meaningless? Just an endless slog of A stars, awards, and successful careers in stand-up comedy ending ultimately in a lonely death? In fact, this whole speech is pointless and not worth you even listening to. In fact, this entire episode of My Teenage Diary is a waste of time and is nothing but a frivolous diversion on the way to your inevitable extinction. Thank you, Ken.
Yes. So now that you've read your diaries back, what do you think you would say to the younger you?
I would say, keep doing what you're doing. You're smashing it. It's all going to turn out fine.
And what would the younger you say back?
He would say, what the hell? What have you? Are you not rich? how are things fine? You're making like no money doing comedy. You could have been a pension manager or an actor.
Has this experience been cathartic in any way?
It has been really cathartic. Yeah, it's been great actually just thinking of how much I've changed since then. It's been actually really cool to revisit that.
We always ask our guests to choose a song which sums up their teenage years. What have you chosen and why?
I've chosen The Elements song by Tom Lehrer because it's, well, it'll be self-explanatory, I think.
Okay. Yes, it's there's a geeky element to it. In fact, there's a lot of elements to it. So as we listen to Tom Lehrer, ladies and gentlemen, please thank Ken Chen.
There's antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium, and hydrogen, and oxygen, and nitrogen, and rhenium, and nickel, neodymium...
My Teenage Diary is a talkback production for BBC Radio 4. It was presented by me, Rufus Hound, and starred guest, Ken Chen. The producer was Harriet Jane.
And iodine, and thorium, and thulium, and thallium.